All right, good evening. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, Ephesians chapter 1, I'll kick us off so we can get an idea of where we're going. We're going the same direction we were last week, if you were here. I know some of you were, some of you may not have been. So back in the 80s and probably even into the early 90s, I collected baseball cards. Anybody ever get into that? So, in 1982, there was a particular card that was made. If I ever had it, I either lost it or traded it. Something happened to it, because I don't have it anymore. But there was a card that had Baltimore Orioles future stars on it. And it had three guys on it that were with the Orioles. The first guy, from left to right, the first guy's name was Bob Bonner. So it said, Bob Bonner, shortstop. You want to remember that. The guy in the middle, Cal Ripken, third base. Guy on the far right, Jeff Schneider, pitcher. So forget about Jeff Schneider. I want to talk about these other two fellows for a second. Bob Bonner, Cal Ripken. And I want to ask you, well, think about this while I read their statistics. I'll ask you the question, who would you say at the end of their career was more blessed in their baseball career? We'll just say their baseball career. So I'll give you, we'll compare as I give you these statistics. And if you don't know much about baseball, that's okay. High numbers are better. So if you can figure out which number is higher. And these are huge differences in high and low. So Bob Bonner played from 1980 to 1983. He had a very short career. And in those 4 years, he only played in 61 games. Cal Ripken played from 1981 to 2001 and played 3,001 games. He also played in 2,632 games in a row, which is a record. Probably never be broken. Incredible record. Bob Bonner, 21 career hits. Cal Ripken, 3,184 career hits. Bob Bonner, batting average, 194. It's not good. It's really bad. Pastor can tell you. Cal Ripken, batting average, 276. Now, that's not out of this world, but that's a solid batting average. Bob Bonner, 15 career runs scored. Cal Ripken, 1,647 runs scored. Bob Bonner, 0 career home runs as a major leaguer. Cal Ripken, 431 home runs. Bob Bonner, 8 runs batted in career. Cal Ripken, 1,695 runs batted in his career. So, which of these two fellows do you think made it to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Bonner or Ripken? Ripken, 2007, Cal Ripken, inducted to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. So, based on what I told you, and some of you kind of know where I'm going here, but if you do, pretend you don't. Based on what I told you, who is the more blessed of the two? Who would you say? Nobody's answering. Depends. There's actually the correct answer. But let's go on statistics alone, the careers of these two men. Would you say that, we won't say blessed on this, we'll say Cal Ripken had a more successful numbers-based baseball career. Agreed? Who is more blessed? And Ms. Cookie nailed it. Depends. What does it depend on? Well, I'll give you the rest of the story here. This will show you where we're going tonight. Bob Bonner, in 1983, right after his baseball career, became a missionary, independent Baptist, by the way, missionary to Zambia. And he was there for the next 26 years. And the story I haven't heard from him in a while. I actually got to meet him several years ago. Really neat. And I haven't heard most recently, but they told him eventually, if you keep coming back to Africa, you're going to die of malaria. So I think he's stateside now, and he's still doing whatever mission work he can from the States and still helping out from afar in Africa. So I'll read you the story here about Bob Bonner, and this is where we get to some spiritual things concerning him. This is how his career basically ended, his baseball career. He said, I went to spring training, and this was 1982, and hit over 300. Joe Altobelli was our new manager, and he called me into his office and said they were going to send me back to the minor leagues and asked if I wanted to know why. I'm thinking to myself that they've moved Ripken to shortstop, and I'm out of a job. So I said, I don't know why you're sending me down. So here was the response of the manager. Here's what he said. He said, Bob, you're taking this Jesus thing a little too far. So he responded, what? The manager said, you make everybody nervous. And he said, what? Manager said, you don't fit in. You bring your Bible to the ballpark and talk about Jesus all the time. So then Bonner responded. He said, let me ask you something, Joe. Do I play hard when I'm on the field? Manager said, yeah, but we're not concerned about that. We're concerned about other things. You have to leave Jesus in the church. You can't bring him to the ballpark with you. That's something. So he said, Bob said, Joe, you don't know your Bible. Jesus lives in my heart and he goes wherever I go. So the response from Joe Altobelli, the manager, said, well, Jesus ain't going to Baltimore. And what he was saying is, you're not making the team. And that was basically the end of his career. After that, he said, I'm out. So I tell you all that to tell you that I personally believe Bob Bonner, more blessed man than Cal Ripken. Now, you tell that to anybody who's not a believer, and they'll say you're crazy. But let's see what this is all about. Ephesians 1. Let's read the first three verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this part. Who hath blessed us with all, what's that next word? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, according to God's word, the greatest of blessings are actually what kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings. Now, you're here tonight, you got a pretty good level of health to be here. Amen? But that's a physical blessing. I think all of you drove cars here, right? I don't think anybody rode a bike. Physical blessing. You got food in your pantry and your fridge. I know you do. Thank the Lord for that. Physical blessing. We can go on and on. Those are great. Thank you, Lord, for those things, right? But how fast could you lose all of those things I just said? I mean, quicker than that. The spiritual blessings we're going to talk about tonight, you can never, ever, ever lose them. Never. So I covered four of these last week, and I'm going to try to get through four more tonight if we got time. So I'll give you the ones I gave you last week. And again, you could actually categorize these in 100 different ways probably, but this is the way that it came out. So last week, spiritual blessing number one. If you're saved, now this only applies to people who know Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, the first one we covered is you have your sins forgiven. God does not keep marking you as, oh, there's another one, there's another one. Your sins are gone by the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's the first one. Now, getting your sins forgiven made you no longer an enemy of God, but a child of God. So number two last week was a really good Bible word. You can study this word in your Bible. It's really neat. Reconciliation. You were enemies, you were at odds, and now you're brought back together in fellowship with God. So reconciliation was number two. And then last week we talked about another good Bible word, justification. Legal term. And what that means is if you are saved, God has declared you, because of Jesus Christ, because you know that none of us are this, but because of Jesus Christ, God has declared you as righteous if you've trusted Him. So, a pretty good blessing, wouldn't you say? I mean, I could look at you and point some things out that you got problems with, and you could do the same with me, right? Spiritually. But the Lord looks at His children, what does He say? What does he see? He sees nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ covering up all those sins that make you so nasty and ugly, right? All right, next one we covered. This is the last one we covered. I'm going to actually hit one more verse on this one. I didn't get to it last week. So this is number four. Eternal life. You got eternal life? You ought to be able to say affirmatively, very confidently, that you have eternal life if you're saved. Because you do. You say, how do you know that? Okay, I gave you a few last week, but I'll give you one verse on this one, then we'll go on to some new ones. John chapter 5. I think we'll be in the New Testament on all these again, so follow along there if you can. John chapter 5. Probably a verse you know. Look down there at verse 24. And let's see what's required for everlasting life. John 5, verse 24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that... What's that next word? Okay, there's step number one. He that heareth my word. And step number two, what is it? There's the second thing. Believeth on him that sent me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. Hear the word, believe on him. What does it say you have? And you notice the tense of that verb right there? Half, is half past, present, or future? It's right now. It's present. You got it right now. So I know when you talk to folks about this, particularly folks who don't know a whole lot about their Bible, they'll say, now hold on a second. Somebody, you're telling me somebody can have everlasting life. Well, why would somebody who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, why would they ever die if they have everlasting life? Well, let's keep reading the verse and let's see what it says. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now watch the rest of this verse. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I know we've had folks here, even just very recently in the last year, a couple years, folks that came here for a while, long time, that were saved and they died. And we miss them, right? I still often think about Miss Sue, Charles and Sue right down here. Miss Sue lived longer than him, so I remember seeing her a lot more. But right down here, she's not here anymore. Is she in a better place than we are? Oh, good night. Yeah. Would she want to come back here after being there? What do you think? I don't think there's a chance she would. So the very moment that she gave up the ghost and breathed her last breath, physically, she had no life anymore. But you realize a person who's saved at that very moment, they actually just started living. Isn't that something? Because it says there, they're passed from death unto life. And that's life better than what you and I got down here. You understand, folks who are saved that died, they're in a sinless place right now. You're living in a garbage heap right now, aren't you? Where would you rather be? See, we can talk about... Don and I can talk about this, and we get fired up right off the bat here. Just say a couple words about modern times and what's going on. There's not any of that up there, is there? Everything's the way it should be up there. So, everlasting life. What a great blessing that is. What a spirit. Let me ask you, is that something that God gave you that He'll say, oh, don't have that anymore, I'm taking it back? Now, I'm not going to hit all the verses on eternal security. We're actually going to hit a couple because it's the next blessing here. I show you that God's not going to do that. And like I said last week, if He says, I'm giving you everlasting life, and then He takes it away, it wasn't everlasting life, was it? He didn't tell you the truth, and you know that God's not going to do that. God's going to tell you the truth every time. Okay, number four was eternal life. Now let's get to some new ones here in the next few minutes. Eternal security. You can't lose what God gave you. But let's get the Bible's commentary on this. Go to John 10. And again, these are a lot of verses you probably know. But we've seen that song from time to time, count your blessings. And usually, if you're asked to count your blessings, you name a lot of physical things. Nothing wrong with that. But do you realize you got a lot of spiritual blessings that you ought to be counting as well? And they're better because, like I said, you can never lose them. So we ought to count them. John 10, and this is the Lord talking again here. Let's see what He says here. Verse 27, John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them what? There it is, eternal life. Now watch this part. And they shall never. You got that word in your Bible? I got that one underlined in my Bible. They shall never perish. Keep going here. He just keeps stacking it on here as far as how you can't lose it. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, who's talking there in 27 and 28? That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. So, you can't be taken out of His hand, right? Look at 28 or 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, we have a contradiction in the Bible, don't we? If you're saved, are you in the Lord Jesus Christ's hand? Or are you in the Father's hand? Yes. Right, Phil? Yes and yes. Because look at the next verse. What does he say? I and my Father are one. But isn't that the safest place to be, to know that you're in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the hand of the Father? And he says there, on purpose, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, great promise on eternal security there. There's a good one. Go to Romans chapter 8. This is probably my favorite. If I had to go one verse, I'd pick one of these two, but I'd probably go with the Romans passage. There's something about this passage that's really neat. Look at Romans 8:38. Last two verses in Romans chapter 8. The spiritual blessing of eternal security. This would be number 5 on our list here. We'll try to get through 8 tonight. Look at 38. 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now, there's a nice list there, isn't there? So, anything that you could think of falls under one of those categories. Look what it says. It says, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And where do you find the love of God, folks? What's it say? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, another verse telling us that if you're in Christ Jesus, you will never be separated from God's love. Amen to that? So, there's two of my personal favorite verses on eternal security. John 10, Romans 8, I'm sure you could hit some more than that, but those are a couple of really good ones. So the blessing, the spiritual blessing of eternal security. Count that one, huh? You can't lose what God gave you. Who did the work of salvation, by the way? Did you do anything? You did nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything. You're trusting what He did. So if He did everything and He says that He can keep you saved, do you think He can? Is He going to? Of course He is. So no worries on that. I know when I was a kid, and this is before I really got grounded in my Bible, I would worry. I'd go to my dad worried about, Dad, I think I lost it. And then I got to college and I got tangled up with this Church of God. Assembly of God, that's what it was. Some friends of mine that lived in the dorm with said, hey, come to church with us, went to Assembly of God. They had me convinced I could lose my salvation. Now, how do they do that with a Bible? That's what they did, by the way. They showed me, with a Bible, I could lose my salvation. How do you do that? You take verses out of context. That's what you do. You don't read what's before, what's after. You don't take the chapter in context. Don't take the book in context. You just rip that thing out. And they had me going all over the place thinking I could lose it. And if you could lose it, how do you get it back? Can you get it back? See? Is God going to keep you saved? You better believe it is. Aren't you glad that you don't have to keep you saved? If any of us in here got to keep ourselves saved, we're all in trouble. Aren't we? Be honest now. You don't have to. You're in church. You don't want to lie in church. If you got to keep yourself saved, how are you going to do with that? You're not going to do well with that. We're all going to lose it, and we'll lose it before we leave here tonight, if it's up to us. But the Lord's keeping us. All right, let's go to number 6 here. Another good one here. Ephesians chapter 1, back where we started here. Different verse, though. So we had eternal life, we've got eternal security. This would be number 6 on the list, Ephesians chapter 1. Count your spiritual blessings. Go down there to verse 12. Read a couple verses here. See if you can identify the spiritual blessing here. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So this applies to folks who trusted in Jesus Christ. So notice that last part, in Christ, verse 13. In whom? Speaking of in Christ. In whom ye also trusted. after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, blessing number 6, can anybody identify? What do we have in that verse, verse 13, that is a wonderful spiritual blessing? Anybody? Okay, I got sealing and we got the Holy Spirit. You got it. I have down here the Holy Spirit. If you want to say the sealing of the Holy Spirit, that's even better, because that's exactly what He does according to what we read right there. And I'll show you another verse on that. But it says there, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, it says hearing and then trusting, believed on Him, God has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. And that is actually what keeps you and me saved. Look at 14, actually. Look at the next verse. It tells you a little bit about this. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What's that all about, the redemption of the purchased possession? Well, part of you is not saved yet. What part of you is not saved right now? Your body is not saved. But will your body be redeemed one day? Now, you have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, right? So that purchased possession has to do with, there's a day when your body will be redeemed. Philippians 3 tells you all about it. It talks about how God will take this vile body and transform it like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. When does that happen, by the way? You folks know. At the rapture, that happens instantaneously, faster than that. And that's at the time, that at that time will be 100% saved. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved right now, but you follow me. Right now, your flesh isn't saved, but it will be one day. Isn't that going to be something? Anybody fight the flesh today? So, I don't do this every day, but more days than not, I do. Food. I fight the flesh every day, don't get me wrong, but one particular thing, food. You need more. Your flesh says, give me more, give me more. I've already had two burritos. Today, I ate two burritos. You need more. Okay, I have a little bit more. You need more. No, you don't. You see how your flesh just never, ever stops, does it? It just keeps coming at you. One day you won't have that flesh, will you? That'll be a glorious day. Go to Ephesians 4. A couple more verses on the Holy Spirit. And if you want to say the sealing of the Holy Spirit, here's another verse that talks about that. Last part of Ephesians 4. Look at verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, that would be the day that the rapture takes place. Your body's transformed. So there's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, have you ever put a stamp on a letter? You done that before? How'd you make it stay? How'd you make it stay? You probably licked it, yeah? You're not supposed to do that anymore, but I did that the other day, actually. So I don't think I'm supposed to do this because of germs, but I did it anyway. So whoever gets that, well, whatever. So you put that down on there, and then if you tried to take it off, could you? Could you take the stamp off if you wanted to? You probably could. You could probably tear it and get it off of there. Do you realize, folks, that the Holy Spirit is the tightest seal that ever existed? There is no tighter seal. He can't be removed, is what I'm saying. The Lord has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and nobody's changing that, ever. Is that a spiritual blessing, wouldn't you say? All right, so there's a good verse on that. Go to Galatians. Go back to the left in your Bible. Galatians 3, a couple verses in Galatians on the Holy Spirit. It's just the fact that God gave you the Holy Spirit, and it's a great spiritual blessing of being saved. Look at 3:13 and 14. 3:13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, so if you're redeemed, look at what 14 says. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we, that's talking about us Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Great spiritual blessing. God gave you His Holy Spirit the very moment you got saved. Go to Galatians 4. How about one more? Galatians 4:6. If you're a child of God and you're saved, this applies to you. Look at 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So again, we could look at a whole lot more, but is it a great spiritual blessing to have the Holy Spirit living in you? Wouldn't you say? The next point, I really want to jump ahead here, but I'm going to save this for the next point. Just keep in mind that the Holy Spirit in you goes hand in hand with the next spiritual blessing here, and I'll kind of try to tie those together. Go to Romans 15. This will be number 7. Holy Spirit number 6. Let's see if we can get these last two here. Not be too long after 8 o'clock. I'll try. No promises made, though. Romans 15. What else do you have being saved? What's another spiritual blessing? Go down there to verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Y'all keeping up okay? I'm going too fast? Nobody answers, so I guess not. All right. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Watch this part. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we already covered you got the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you if you're saved. Amen to that. But what's he say there in verse 13 about the Holy Spirit? What do you have specifically? I know the Holy Spirit keeps you saved. It's the seal. But what else does the Holy Spirit give you and I? What's that verse say, folks? What's that? Power. Somebody said it back there. It says there, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So, you know what you have being saved? Because of the Holy Spirit, here's number 7, you got spiritual power. Now, there are lots of spiritual powers in our world, but none of them can match up with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I wrote down a few things here just for fun. Why don't you turn, we'll go to the next verse and I'll tell you something here kind of fun. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Next verse on the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of powerful people in our world. A lot of powerful things, organizations in our world. So I wrote down a few. There's this fighter. Those of you who watch Ultimate Fighting, there's this boxer or a fighter that has never lost. Khabib. You ever watch that, Phil? Where's he from? Russia. He's from Russia. I've seen him. You can pull up a video of this guy when he was a kid, and he was wrestling bears. So you got to be out of your mind to do that. Tough guy. 29-0. He's never lost. And he says he's never going to fight again. Nobody can beat the guy. He's beating everybody. He's a pretty powerful guy, wouldn't you say? Pretty strong guy. What's he got on the Holy Spirit? He got nothing. How about, I looked up the 10 most powerful men in the world. It's a boring list, so I won't bore you with all of them. I'll give you 4 of them, though. You know these guys. These are 4 of the top 10. Vladimir Putin, Jeff Bezos. Can you believe Pope Francis made it? He's in the top 10. And Bill Gates. How about you put all 4 of those fellas together, along with the rest of the top 10? How are they going to match up when it comes to power versus the Holy Spirit? How are they going to do, folks? They're going to lose. Not even close. It's not even a contest. You have the military. They have the mighty Navy SEALs. They used to be the quiet professionals. Now they're everywhere, and they brag about all the stuff that they do. But I wouldn't want to ever get in a fight with one of those guys. But they got nothing on the Holy Spirit. They got nothing on the Holy Spirit. So you have spiritual power greater than anybody or anything in this world if you're saved. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Go to Ephesians 3. This is, again, if I had to make a list of 10 of my favorite verses in the Bible, this would probably make the top 10. Definitely make top 10. Look at verse 20. Good verse to memorize. 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do, and watch the wording, it's fantastic, it's great, exceeding abundantly above. Isn't that interesting wording there? You know what he could have said? Now unto him that is able to do above. But he threw in a couple of adjectives in there just to show you how much better than just being above. Above all. It says exceeding abundantly above all. Above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh where? In us. Who's the power that works in us? That's the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's a great spiritual blessing to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and you have the most powerful individual you could have in the universe, where does he live if you're saved? And I say he on purpose. The Holy Spirit is a person. We get think it's a mysterious force. The Holy Spirit is a person, referred to as a he in your Bible. And he, if you're saved, lives in you. So, whole nother message, but I'll just kind of throw this out there for you to think about. Why isn't the power of the Holy Spirit on display more in the lives of believers? I'll throw that out for you. What do you think about that? Why isn't the power of the Holy Spirit more on display more in the lives of believers? Let me just give you one example. Why is it that we continually, I'm sure us here, there's many of us that struggle with certain sin. What did God give you the Holy Spirit for? Victory over sins that are problems for you, right? Why would it be that certain sins continually come up and creep up and drag us down? What do you think? Okay. Romans 6 is the place to go. And again, we'll have to hit this another time. But talks all over there about yielding either to your flesh or yielding to the Holy Spirit. And he says, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, that's who you will obey. And folks, I've heard preachers say, it's a day-by-day battle, the flesh and the spirit. That's a lie. It's a second-by-second battle, isn't it? I understand what they mean daily. I get it. But isn't it literally second-by-second, moment-by-moment, that flesh just continues to rage? And say, folks, I'm telling you this because this is me struggling, just like I'm sure all of us. We ought not have the same sins continually bring us down if we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, don't you think? That's the problem. You know what the problem is? How come the power is not seen more? The problem is right here. Go home, look in the mirror. The problem is the person you see in the mirror. That's who it is. Nobody else. Don't try to blame it on anybody else. The problem is us. And specifically, it's our flesh. So you want to really study what you're capable of as having the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Read through Paul's letters and look at all the things that he endured. And all through that, what is he still doing? All the difficulties he endured, what's he still doing? He's still praising God, isn't he? And that's a man that's Spirit-filled. That's a man who knows what it's about. Now, he wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect, obviously, but he would go through the most difficult circumstances, being in prison, being beaten, being shipwrecked. And he comes out of that praising God. How does a person do that? Because the natural thing to do would be to complain and get upset and maybe even quit, get all depressed. So this is just my personal opinion, take it or leave it. I think the reason why a lot of Christians don't have victory and they're depressed is because one of two things. They don't know who lives inside of them. And if they do know who lives inside of them, they don't yield to them. The Holy Spirit, that is. So how about we start living for the Lord and yielding to the Holy Spirit? What do you say? I guarantee every one of us would see victory more often, and get to victory on this next point, if we just did that. Yield to the Holy Spirit. We'll have to maybe hit Romans 6 another time. Just go through there. It talks about yielding. Yielding means giving the right of way to. So instead of giving the right of way and going the way of the flesh, you go the way of the Spirit. And that's not a one-time-a-day thing. It's not just, oh, in the morning and I'm okay. Lord, I yield myself to you at 6 a.m. At 6:30, by 6:30, the flesh already come after you. If the flesh hasn't come after you, the world has. If the world hasn't come after you, the devil has. You better keep yielding to the Holy Spirit, right? There's the key. All right, last thing here. I'm not going to get you out of here a couple minutes after 8. We're going to be at least 5 after 8, so I'll ask for forgiveness later. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Last point here on spiritual blessings. You got spiritual power available to you through the Holy Spirit. You got the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You got eternal security. And this last one here, Romans 8:37. Start down there. We read 38, 39, but I didn't read 37 on purpose, so we can come back to it. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors through him that loved us. Anybody going to correct me on that? There, thank you. Yeah, you better correct the preacher when he reads the wrong verse or doesn't read the verse right. It says more than conquerors. And I did that on purpose because I love that. I underline in my Bible all three of those words. More than conquerors. Now, what's a conqueror? Well, a conqueror conquers, obviously. But isn't a conqueror a winner? Isn't a conqueror victorious? And if you are more than a conqueror, I think that you have the ability, again, this is through the Holy Spirit, to win far more times than you lose. And I'm talking about spiritual things here. So you say, what are you talking about here? Let's look at a couple things real practically. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, next chapter or next book in your Bible. Go to the next to last chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And go down there to the end. I won't read all this. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. I won't read all the verses before, but the verses before, 51 down to 56, is talking about, starts off talking about the rapture in verse 51, 52, and how bodies that are buried will rise from the dead. This is saved individuals at the rapture. How does that happen? Well, Romans 8 says, the Spirit that lives in you will also raise you from the dead, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Look down here at verse 55. We'll read down a couple verses here. 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the, what's that word? Victory. And how do you get victory? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you like to win? Anybody here like to win? I know Brother Jeff, he if you got him on the basketball court, he might even play dirty to try to beat you. I don't like to lose. None of us like to lose. That's not an enjoyable thing. Isn't that something how we put so much energy into winning physical things? Basketball, baseball, that was me for a long time. Football, checkers, board games, cards. In the Rockwell family, it gets fierce with board games and cards. And well, don't worry, we don't play for money, so it's okay. But we get fierce battles going, and us Rockwells are kind of sore losers. We don't like to lose. We've had some family fights over some stupid games that we played. And what a silly thing that is when you think about it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, does it? All those statistics I read you at the beginning, what do they matter in eternity? Cal Ripken's statistics matter? Nope. Bob Bonner's statistics matter? Nope. None of those things matter. What matters is victory through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I've told our athletes at our school, I say, hey, glad you won. Really glad you won. I like winning. But what a travesty it would be for you to win a championship and lose spiritually because you didn't know Jesus Christ. What a terrible thing. What have we taught you? We've not taught you anything. Because spiritual victory is the most important victory, and you get that through Jesus Christ. How about one more? Go to 1 John. 1 John 5, and we'll wrap up here. It's a great spiritual blessing to know that you are on the winning side. You have victory. 1 John 5, 4. 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God. Is that you? Been born again? That's you if you've been saved. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. Hey, the world been dragging you down? Don't let it. You, within you, the Holy Spirit within you is more powerful than anything in this world. Anybody or anything. So when the news tries to strike fear in your hearts as to, oh, you have to watch out for this guy or that person or that germ, right? That's what it is here the last couple of years. Hey, don't worry. You have victory, don't you? And it's kind of interesting with COVID. Everybody's great fear has been what with the virus? What's been the thing? I read something today, and I shouldn't have read it because it just stirs up the fear again with a new variant. And what's everybody's fear with COVID? You might die. You afraid of that? You shouldn't be. So, Miss May, you folks know her. Things are about to get a whole lot better for her, wouldn't you say? I'd be a little jealous. Now, God's got you here for a reason, but when folks that are saved get close to the end, boy, it's about to get a whole lot better for them. Amen? You know why? They got victory through Jesus Christ. So death is not a loss. Death is, they just won. Isn't that something? So there's eight, and we could probably do a whole bunch more on that, messages on spiritual blessings. Hey, count your blessings, both physical and spiritual. Don't forget about those spiritual blessings. You could mine out a whole lot more than what I gave you if you just spend some time digging in your Bible. As we mentioned on Monday or Sunday, just searching the Scriptures, getting in there and like you're searching for gold. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. I just thank you for folks here. I just pray all of us walk away from here tonight encouraged, knowing what we have only in Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would count and revel in the spiritual blessings and knowing that we only have them because of you, no other reason. And we just want to thank you and praise you for that. And I just pray that as we spend time, all of us here spend time in your word here over the next few days, you just point out a whole lot more for us to get excited about. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.